A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The Andean chain. We begin with Ecuador, a story that is positive since the election of a young man named Noboa, who appeared just before the vote in Mar-a-Lago. So he is associated with the United States of America right now, not historically. However, there is unhappiness in Ecuador because the violence continues. The violence is narco-terror, yes, but it's also a resistance to Noboa, and the indigenous people resist the central government. In fact, there have been incidents with the indigenous people. So I come to the professor on the most recent news we have that Ecuador is rejecting the idea of U.S. assistance in the terms of a foreign base, a U.S. base in Ecuador. Professor, we've not spoken at length about President Noboa since he took office. Is he considered successful so far by the measure of narco-terror being trimmed back?
He is considered successful to a degree, John, but clearly this Sunday's vote on four very important issues, including the military bases, exposed the fact that both on economic issues as well as certainly on security issues, he has limitations and weaknesses. It's important to recall that one of the reasons that he was able to come to power over his opponent, a woman by the name of Luisa Gonzalez, who was seen as too closely tied with the leftist populist Rafael Correa, was the sense that Ecuador has been experiencing a security crisis. A lot of that crisis comes from Colombian drugs coming out through the Ecuadorian coast, facilitated by Mexican groups like the Sinaloa Cartel and Jalisco Nueva Generacion, who have essentially empowered local gangs like the Choneros and the Lobos and others to get those drugs out. That has dramatically escalated violence in Ecuador. The Noboa government, a center-right government working closely with the United States, has responded with states of emergency, with military deployments, with attempts to control the prisons. It has worked to some degree, but one of the things that was discussed in this past Sunday's referendum was bringing the foreign powers, basically changing the constitution that the previous leftist Correa government had himself changed. Basically, the Correa government back in 2009 had kicked the United States out, had a constitution that didn't allow any foreigners on military bases on Ecuadorian soil. And so Noboa, recognizing that there are actual useful reasons why, you know, the U.S. as previously or others would want to help out Ecuador by operating off of Ecuadorian territory, that should happen. However, the vote that occurred last Sunday, the citizens overwhelmingly said no to foreign military bases, that change in the Constitution. In part, it was said that there is a discomfort with the style of Noboa himself, which is seen as a little bit authoritarian and aggressive by many in Ecuador. There's also some indication that this reflected discomfort with U.S. operations both in the Pacific and in the Caribbean, those lethal strikes against drug boats with which there have now been 21 strikes killing over 80 different people, and thus the discomfort in Ecuador that they didn't want to be part of something that could allow those types of things to occur from Ecuadorian soil. On top of that, however, there were also other issues in the referendum in terms of a initiative to cut the number of assembly members in half, initiative to actually bring a new, essentially, constituent assembly to rewrite the Ecuadorian constitution. And so it appears what the Ecuadorians basically said is that they're uncomfortable with Noboa taking changes too far, whether that was bringing in the United States or making significant changes to the Constitution. They seem to be saying, okay, continue to prosecute this war against drugs. We're nervous about where those results are going right now, but we don't want to give you too much latitude to essentially take things too much farther in changing our constitutional system in the name of bringing about that security. But as we've seen with those massive protests in Mexico, Ecuador is another place where citizen frustration with that insecurity has and continues to have significant political consequences. It's in Ecuador, as in Mexico and other places, it's really become political issue number one for that nation.
Bolivia, this looks like good news. A recent visit by the Deputy Secretary of State, Mr. Landau, and the election in Bolivia having moved right of center. Are there positive results yet, or is it too early?
There are at least preliminary positive results, John. So number one, as we've talked about in previous programs, Rodrigo Paz, the new center-right president of Bolivia, has expressed a desire to reactivate relations with the United States, to re-engage with international financial institutions such as the Andean Finance Corporation, the CAF, as well as bring in back the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration and others. And so a series of things, while not completely changing Bolivia's economy, or at least not just yet, something that Rodrigo Paz is called capitalism for everyone. So kind of a centrist, inclusive, but free market approach, much more engaging with the U.S. and international financial institutions. And so to his credit, Chris Landau, our Deputy Secretary of State, who really has deep, deep roots in the region, having grown up and lived in Chile and in Colombia, in Paraguay, maybe the only Deputy Secretary of State that speaks Guarani, the indigenous language of Paraguay, next door to Bolivia. And so it probably made a lot of sense that it was Chris Landau that was sent to receive Rodrigo Paz, and opened up a series of at least new initiatives where the U.S. is talking about helping to facilitate Bolivia's access to international credit, probably through the International Monetary Fund, possible strengthened interest for U.S. investors in Bolivia, in mining sectors and in other sectors, and a number of other initiatives. And so it appears that this is a fast-moving train, but one where, at least it appears for the moment, there is a subtle touch which appears to be respectful of Bolivia's circumstance as Rodrigo Paz really reactivates these relationships with the United States, but hopefully in a way that also does not allows him to successfully navigate the political minefield, which is the situation in Bolivia right now.
His neighbors, are they friendly toward him with the U.S. presence so vivid, or does that cause friction in this part of South America?
Well, the interesting thing with respect to Bolivia's broader neighborhood is it is a very, right now, U.S.-friendly political neighborhood. You have to the southeast Argentina with a very U.S.-friendly Javier Milei government. You have right next to Bolivia in Paraguay, again, a very pro-business, pro-U.S. Government, the Santiago Peña there with the Colorados. It appears that in Chile, we will soon have round two of an election, which is likely to bring the right back to power in Chile. If you look to the a little bit farther to the north, you have certainly the Daniel Noboa government in Ecuador. And so with a limited number of exceptions, you find that the neighborhood is basically, Bolivia, who has been relatively hostile to the U.S. for quite some time, now rejoins what is a surprisingly U.S.-friendly neighborhood. The real landmines for Rodrigo Paz come from within Bolivia itself, certain indigenous groups and others who had supported what was previously the movement against socialism, essentially people aligned with Evo Morales, the previous president, or others. Others who may not necessarily support the MAS, which in part dissolved, but who have deep reluctance about engagement with the United States. Bolivia is also in a significant economic crisis. They've had an enormous state role in the oil sector and others. And so there are a number of people also who deeply distrust engagement with international Financial organizations like the IMF, or engagement with the United States, and certainly engagement with the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, which previous President Evo Morales very publicly picked a fight with and threw out of the country a number of years ago. And so a number of these things are sensitive to different important, deeply rooted groups in Bolivia. However, there's reason to believe that the centrist nature of Rodrigo Paz, his understanding, his actual father's credentials as a center left person with the old party called the MIR, that this will allow him to navigate this course, which is reorienting Bolivia, but reorienting Bolivia in a, again, relatively more pro-U.S., more pro-market way, without causing some of those other more skeptical parts within Bolivia to sabotage that effort. But at the end of the day, he's got to get the corruption under control. He's got to get the economic decline under control. There is a serious currency crisis, a lack of dollars. Needs to reactivate the Bolivian economy, especially the gas sector, and do a lot of other things. And so if he can solve those things, he just might be able to make this new path work and be acceptable to those who are skeptical within Bolivia itself.
Peru is announcing that a surprising number of tariffs on food exported from Peru have been lifted by the Trump administration. But the last time we talked of Peru, it's in between China and the U.S. It's in that gray zone. Is it tilting one way or the other?
Yeah, well, Peru, certainly the U.S. Suspension of tariffs on certain agricultural goods not produced in the United States is good news for Peru's modest economic exports to the United States. About a quarter of those exports were covered by those tariffs. And so that will help to some degree. But probably the broader story in Peru, like other places we've talked about this morning, is the violence. You've had massive levels of extortion across the Peruvian cities. You have cocaine production-related violence. You have mining violence and extortion. There's a big debate there. You have groups like Tren de Aragua, Venezuelans, and others who have really immigrated into Peru in massive numbers, over 1.7 million in recent years, who have upped levels of violence. You have public transport workers whose buses continue to be burned, and they continue to be assassinated because they haven't paid the extortion. And so really the new government of Jose Heri, who is trying to get Peru to the April 2026 election, is trying to keep things under control. He's implemented a series of state of emergency. He literally just renewed the state of emergency that it expired for another month, continues to do things to try to navigate complaints by miners who want to continue to have legitimate ability to produce produce in the informal mining sector. So a lot of things related to insecurity and criminality that Jose Heri is trying to navigate. Some of the reports suggest that normal Peruvians certainly do not feel that life is getting better, even with the state of emergency. But even if Heri can make a modest difference, it will be transformational in terms of who Peruvians are willing to support in the first round of Peru's very important national elections coming up this April 2026.
Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now. COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.